Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
All right, we were finishing up our Stokely's Cons. Somehow we gave you the longest segment that the show has, and you were able to get through all of them.
No, wasn't able to get through them all.
Someone said, someone on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043 said, is quoting you from earlier in the show. This is from Stoke. We're going to make you smile today. Also Stoke, the worst offensive possession I've seen in 79 years of football.
Touche. Well, hopefully that made you smile.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
It was bad. It was super duper bad, below not good, and
yeah,
it was one of the worst offensive series that I've seen.
It was, yesterday was very 2017-esque.
Yep.
You know, it really was. It just was not a competitive game, and we'll get back to that. But in the details of the game, you said there was blame cast on someone that may not have been his fault.
Yeah, you know, it was a still once again, you know, we're right there still in the third quarter, and we're only down 15. We got the football back. Defense was doing a good job, 25-10, and first play. Driscoll incompleted Judy. Second play, Gordon goes left in for 8 yards. Now we got a third and two. We're at the 23-yard line. And a little bit of a bootleg play from Pat Shurmur, and he gets Driscoll rolling to his right, and Melvin Gordon sneaks out, and he's supposed to go into the flat.
Okay.
Right, it's third and two. He's open right away.
Oh,
he's open.
Yes.
And this is the play everybody's showing with Driscoll, because Driscoll's trying to hold on to the football, and he throws it in the dirt straight down.
Yeah.
And it looks awful. And like Jeff Driscoll, oh my gosh, and people want to start piling on. But if you actually take a look at the play and you know what you're looking at, you realize that that's not on Jeff Driscoll. That was on Melvin Gordon. First of all, bad route by him. You got to get in the flat. He started drifting up the football field like 4 or 5 yards deep. He was still open, and he was the only option for Driscoll, really. And Driscoll was going to throw it to him. And right when Driscoll went to throw him the football, Melvin Gordon turned his head to look up the field some reason. And so Jeff Driscoll saw that, and that's why he tried to hold on the football. He's like, well, you know, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I don't know why he would turn his head to look up the football field. So it was a bad route. And then it was a bad job by him, you know, turning his head up the field for some reason and taking his eyes off the quarterback. Never take your eyes off the quarterback. You don't do that. And so,
what was he? Did he think Driscoll was going to take off and he's looking to block someone?
No clue.
Okay. Okay,
that's our pass receiving running back. You know, everybody told me how great he is catching the football out of the backfield. I haven't seen that through three games. Have you?
Out of the backfield, no. He did have a terrific catch last week for a touchdown from Driscoll. But no, out of the backfield.
I thought I was going to see Christian McCaffrey 2.0. That's what everybody was telling me. That's what everybody was telling me.
Actually, to be honest, I can't remember a positive play that Melvin Gordon caught out of the backfield that went for...
Have we thrown a screen to him?
No, I can't remember one. Maybe we have, I just don't remember.
Have we lined him up outside? I couldn't wait to see like a great, you know, in route, a great post route, a great slant route. I mean, something. That's what everybody kept saying. This guy's so dynamic out of the backfield. Oh my gosh, he's a pass receiving running back. This is what we wanted. Huh? I still haven't seen it, so I'm waiting. But on that play, he has got to get flat. You want me to throw another one? I told you so about him running routes. He's not a pass-receiving running back. I told you that, okay? Told everybody that. That's not him. Now, can he catch checkdowns? Can he catch screens and be a good running back after that? Yes, he can. He does do that very well. When you got Phillip Rivers as your quarterback and he's throwing you checkdowns every other play and they're throwing screen passes to you, yes. But it's not like we can put him out wide like Christian McCaffrey and he's going to break somebody's ankles. No, not going to happen. So, but he has got to stay flat. This is really a 2 to 3 yard route from him, and he's drifting 4, 5, 6 yards up the football field. He's covering himself. And so instead of having an easy first down, it's a nice play design. Instead of having an easy first down, you know, Jeff Driscoll looks like a dum-dum. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
And it's all over the place of him, like, trying to hold on the football, throwing in the dirt.
Yeah.
But it's not on Driscoll, it's on Melvin Gordon.
Did we see one of those plays from Flacco?
I'm sure we did.
where it was like halfway in between letting it go and just like kind of spiking it in the ground?
Yeah. I'm sure we did.
Okay.
I wanted to throw that one in there also because I had that one on the cons. But, you know, those are the plays when you're, you know, Pat Shurmur will put up certain plays like that and say, look, we just got to execute a little bit better. It's a good design of a play. And you got an easy first down, but they don't execute it right. And next thing you know, they're punting. So, and you know, everybody watching on TV is like, oh, my gosh, Jeff Driscoll,
yeah.
What are you doing? But it wasn't on Driscoll at all. It was on Melvin Gordon. He's got to do better.
Well, so just that whole play was a microcosm of, you know, the yes. Broncos right now.
Yes.
You know, poor execution,
right.
Running back drifting upfield, Driscoll in between wanting to throw it and keep it, and, you know, perfectly sums it all up. Sums it all up. Speaking of Driscoll and the quarterback conversation, this is actually, you know what? I want to save this because there's four or five cuts that we didn't hear from Vic that I want to get to, but there's just not quite enough time to let it truly breathe the way it deserves. So we'll table that for just a second. Real quick, just I want to give a huge tip of the cap to the Denver Nuggets on their season that ended over the weekend. You said it would be in five games, so I'll give you a little tip of the cap for getting that right. I thought it'd be in six games. I did think that they were going to win game five. They lost. The Lakers are just the better team. You know, let's just start there.
Yeah.
LeBron James is still the greatest player on planet Earth. But the Nuggets, we said at the beginning of the year, man, for tangible growth, where we all look at each other with conviction and say, man, what a slam dunk success of a season. They'd have to get to the Western Conference Finals. They did. And they made history in the process. Now, some of that history was self-induced of getting down 3-1 twice. But really, the resolve and the intestinal fortitude of that group deserves, I think, our highest level of praise and really a launching off point for maybe the next 3 to 4 years of moving forward. So,
hopefully. It's going to be tough, though. I mean, it's still going to be really tough for them.
It's always going to be
right.
tough. It's always going
to
be tough.
They're going to have to add. They're going to have to get better. And, you know, they could have easily been, you know, out in the first round. Easily. I mean, down 3-1. Down 3-1 the second round. Overall, very, very successful season. Like you said, they took that next step. But this team, you know, a lot of things went their way. And it just doesn't happen like that every single year. You're going to have to get better. You're going to have to add to the team. And hopefully they can do that. And hopefully you look at some of the young pieces and a Michael Porter Jr., you know, maybe we'll play him a little bit more in the regular season this year and, you know, not, you know, harp on, you know, his defensive inefficiencies.
Oh, he'll be starting from day. Mike Malone knows. He's a smart guy. He knows that in order to take that next step that – he needs to be a big part of it.
Thought he would have known that this year.
Yeah, well, you know, sure. And maybe he's learning from his own mistakes.
Maybe so.
He's never coached a basketball team with real expectations like this. Never. So, yes, you have been banging that drum, and I get it. I understand why he slow played it. I do. But at the end of the day, it worked out for the Nuggets. They were in the Final Four. You know, a big growth period for MPJ, a big growth period for Jamal Murray, a big growth period for Jeremy Grant. This team moving forward, you say, hey, it's not going to get easier. There's other teams in the Western Conference that are looking at the Nuggets as a big problem, and it's not going to get easier for them.
Certainly.
So, a great run, a tip of the cap to Tim Connolly, to Mike Malone, and that group. Really good season. Really good season.
And hopefully they can re-sign Jeremy Grant because he'll be a free agent.
They will. They absolutely will. So the Rockies, on the other hand, not so much. We'll have that conversation.
I mean, you got to be kidding. You broke a lot of hearts. A lot of hearts. It didn't matter for the playoffs, but it mattered for some other things, you know.
Mm.
I mean, the over-under on the win total was 26.5, 27, and I had a lot of people texting me that had it.
And what'd they finish with?
They finished with 26.
26, oh my gosh.
Yeah, just needed to show up in the last game, and Freeland laid the biggest egg ever. Two innings, like, gave up, I don't know, it was just awful. Just needed the last one. Just needed the last one.
They literally came down to the last game.
The last game.
Wow.
And they laid an egg.
Wow.
Didn't show up.
Wow.
No show.
Wow. All right. What is the plan for Thursday at the quarterback spot? We got a game in 4 days. You can't make it up. Nick Fangio spoke on it. We'll get to those comments next. The Broncos quarterback carousel continues.
I want to hear this audio, and then I want to tell you what I think they should do.
Okay, I have my own plan as well.
Good.
I'm looking forward to hearing that. You just know they're going to have some graphic ready to fire on Thursday night.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know if...
And that's what you've been talking about.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You want the graphic with... And I was hoping that we would see Rippon also, but then you throw Bortles in there. Now that merry-go-round that you're talking about?
And ESPN has been showing that for about the past 2 years. And at this point, it's like it's open season on the Broncos.
Yeah.
Did you hear them? This is actually shades of 2017 in a major way. They played the fray in over my head yesterday going to break, and they played the same exact song when they were showing Case Keenum airmail one to DT, and they're like,
are you reading too much into this?
Dude, I swear to God, those who know, but in 2017.
Now, I remember that one, and you were talking, I remember that, but
yes.
Again, like, what
they
were
they? Played it yesterday.
Yeah, but what were they, that's just a good song
Why
for them to play.
Why would you play in Over My Head?
I don't know, I didn't pay any attention to it. You think they're taking a shot?
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe they were taking a shot back then, I don't know.
They would play.
Isn't the fray from here?
Are they? I'm not sure.
Is that
we
have one band that's a good band that's from here. I think the fray might be from here.
From Denver.
Told you, man.
Schoolmates, Isaac Slayton, Joe King.
So there you
Shout
go. That's why
the fray.
That's why they're playing it, bro. Come on.
Maybe so. But I just thought
the Broncos are in over their head. Okay, yes.
they would play Tom Petty Free Fallin' going to break in 2017. Well, this is where we're at. Okay. And by the way, and pertaining to the graphic, somehow it's week three and three quarterbacks have already played.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Jeudy starts his Broncos career. He's already caught passes from three different quarterbacks. You can't make this up.
No.
You can't make this up. This is Vic Fangio. Has he decided who will start at quarterback against the New York Jets?
Not yet. We've been talking about it today. And we'll have a decision by tomorrow which way we're going to go.
Okay. I got more for you.
Okay.
This is Vic Fangio. Is Bortles out of consideration for the New York Jets game?
Yes. I mean, Blake was here 2 days last week, you know, and to expect him to be able to play this week on a short week where practice will be very limited, I think would be unrealistic.
Okay, so it's probably not going to be Bortles.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Can't be Bortles. I mean, look, he just got here. And like Vic said, you're just walkthroughs pretty much this whole week. And you have to take off on Wednesday, so you only have a limited amount of time. You got to rest up, try to get guys healthy, and just no chance that Bortles will be ready.
This is Vic Fangio. Will there be a short leash for either quarterback on Thursday?
Yeah, that's always available. I mean, but, you know, pulling quarterbacks in and out unless you have a good reason to, you know, isn't something you want to do a whole lot of. But, yes, in this situation, it could be a mix of the guys.
And finally, it could be a mix of the guys. You don't want to just pull guys just to pull
them. No, you don't want to do that. I mean, he's right. I mean, look, you got to let a guy have some ups and downs and, you know, make some mistakes and try to fight through. And I thought he did that with Jeff Driscoll yesterday. They gave him ample opportunities to have some – try to bounce back after some mistakes, and he just wasn't able to do it. So I thought it was very fair to Driscoll. You don't want the short hook, the quick hook.
Right. I agree with you. They did give him every shot. How many series can you watch? You know, three and out, three plays, 8 yards, punt, three plays, -2 yards, stuff like that. And finally, this is Vic Fangio. What will go into the decision for Thursday?
Well, just to think about it through, you know, we don't want to make a hasty decision, you know, and ultimately come up with the guy that we think or the best combination that we think will give us the best chance to win the game.
I think, you know, I don't know what time they meet and stuff as coaches and all of that. I think he probably knows here right now. He probably knows. Have to. I mean, look, they're playing Thursday.
Yeah.
So I don't know their schedule as far as when the players are coming in. Do the players get a day off here?
Well, that's a good one.
I'm not sure what the schedule is like for Thursday night games. I don't know if they get a day off now or not. So,
what's your guess?
I
couldn't imagine a day off with a quick turnaround like this.
Probably not. Probably get to sleep in, come in a little bit later, and have some meetings and lift weights, and that's it. Probably today, watch the film and get ready for the next game. You might not even watch the film. You might not even watch the film because you're on to the next game. You know, that's the way you do it. And I've had situations where we didn't watch the film. So I think the Broncos probably, you might do a little shorter film service with your coach, just the plays that you need to get better at. And certainly there was a lot of those for the Broncos, especially offensively.
So you'll essentially watch the film.
Not the whole film. You could. I mean, I've done different situations. So I think it's probably in the Broncos situation, especially offensively, it could be a big benefit for them. A lot of mistakes that they need to try to correct, new offense, all of those things, right? But maybe you just kind of shorten it down to the important plays.
Sure.
But the schedule, you know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. And then you're traveling. I mean, that's why those Thursday games, road teams usually struggle.
The plan at quarterback, I think I have my vote for what I think it should be. I'm curious.
Go ahead.
I think Brett Rypien should start. There's nothing there's nothing more to be discovered for Jeff Driskel. He's 1-8 as a starting quarterback. Do I think Brett Rypien will be any better? No, I don't. But I'm just willing to try something else. Just for the sake of honestly trying something else. And I do think Blake Bortles should be the backup this week and move that way moving forward. Jeff Driskel, I would be A-okay if I never saw Jeff Driskel on a football field ever again.
I think, you speak for a lot of people. Why? He's not the future. He's not going to win you, games here. So what's the point? I'm trying to look up Driskel's contract and see what it looks like. I don't know what they have. Okay, so they can get out of it next year, which they will be doing. So so he'll be one and done here. But you look at Driskel, why? Why even start him this week? Like, let's just go ahead and throw Rypien in there. I'm with you. Brett Rypien, let's take a look at him full game. He did some good things.
Yep.
Had a nice drive, was getting rid of the football quickly, throwing it to guys that were open and making good decisions. We've seen enough of Jeff Driskel. I didn't need to see anything to see enough. I saw Jeff Driskel 3 years ago when I broke down the game before the Broncos played the Bengals. And he's the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's 1-8 as a starter now. Well, what else do we need to see? Might as well go with Brett Rypien and take a look at him. If he falls on his face, guess what? It's just another loss. And then you get Bortles ready for the next week. I don't think you even have Bortles as a backup this week. It's just, will it matter?
No, it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter. Just let Jeff Driskel just be the backup.
You are moving around deck chairs on the Titanic
right
at this point. This ship is going down.
Yeah.
So, honestly, entertain me. Start Brett Rypien.
Right. At least I'll be, like, let's take a look at this guy.
New. Yeah, why not?
I got like 1% of hope that he'll actually go out there and maybe play really good football.
Maybe, and I'm being serious here, maybe you'll see enough from Brett Rypien that you continue to go down the road with him and maybe he'll be a backup. Maybe he could be a capable backup.
Could be a capable backup. I mean,
the likelihood that the Denver Broncos will start 4 quarterbacks in the first 5 or 6 weeks of this season is very real.
Yeah, it is.
Because I think Bortles eventually is going to play.
I do, too. Because I don't believe that Rypien will play like he played. Now, I like that last pass that he threw in there. Now, that was intercepted, but, man, look, at least he took a little risk right there and tried to thread the needle, and it was a great interception by the Buck safety, one-hander. But, I mean, that was a nice – I like the aggressiveness from him. It's not like check down, check down, check down. You know, hey,
right.
I see a shot. I see a guy.
Sure.
And you tip your hat off to the Buck safety there for making a good play. No problem with that. Other than that, I mean, what, he's 8 for 8 before that throw?
Yeah.
So, why not give him a shot? We have seen enough of Jeff Driskel. We don't need to see any more. And, you know, they could, whatever. Might as well take a look at Rippon now, right?
Why not?
Why not? Why not?
You make an intelligent observation. Oh.
Thank you, Vic.
Whew. All right.
So I will be surprised if it is Driskel. Will you be surprised if it's Driskel?
No. I won't be surprised.
No?
No.
I'll be surprised.
Nothing will surprise me through the rest of this year. Right. I'm making a promise to myself.
Really?
A covenant, if you will. I will not be surprised about anything moving forward.
A covenant.
That's right. I want to see Royce back there taking snaps. I really do. Something happened yesterday that actually made me say, thank goodness. In the midst of all bad, I am finding a silver lining. And I'll tell you what it is next. You know, going into the last break, I said there's something that happened yesterday that made me say, thank goodness. And what I'm talking about is the Colorado Rockies season mercifully comes to an end. And to help us put the final nail in their 2020 coffin, joining us for the last time this year, Pedro Gomez. Pedro, by the end of this thing, you know, we started with great optimism. And you know, got out to an 11-3 start. Since then, the Rockies were the worst team in professional baseball. They end 26-34, 17 games back of the LA Dodgers in a truncated season. It was a merciful ending, and we're ready to see them go away for now, Pedro.
I mean, look, the reality is that the saying is over 162 game season, you are what your record says you are. And in a 60-game season, you are what your record says you are. And 17 games back, after an 11-3 start that had them in first place, that's really disappointing. I remember, though, that when we spoke after that 11-3 start, I did say, be careful, because look who they've played in these first 2 weeks. They haven't played a lot of good clubs yet. And all of a sudden, you know, you find your watermark. And your watermark is what it is. It doesn't matter how long the season is. That's what your watermark is. And right now, looking at the offseason, it is going to be a really difficult climb because you see the Dodgers aren't going anywhere. The Padres are climbing. The Giants certainly look like they're a club that showed a lot of spark and funk and decided, you know what, we're not as bad as everyone thinks we are. And they fought till the very last day of the season to try to get into the postseason. The Diamondbacks and the Rockies, however, are heading in the wrong direction, and the Rockies have got to address their most glaring hole, which is the bullpen.
And Pedro, thanks for joining us all year, buddy. I certainly appreciate it. You bring so much great insight when it comes to baseball and the Rockies. And that was going to be my question is, you know, the bullpen. But besides the bullpen, you know, the bats haven't delivered. And that's been disappointing. I thought the starting pitching for the most part, you know, when you look at Freeland's bounce back year, Senzatella had a good year. I thought the starting pitching for the most part was one of the positive signs. Well, how can they, what should they do when it comes to this starting lineup and the bats?
They've got to be willing to look at everything at this point because the bats, look, under a normal Rockies-type season, the way the starting pitching staff delivered, that should be enough to get you into the postseason, especially when there's this many clubs going to the postseason. But the bats were not consistent in the least. We don't know how hurt Nolan Arenado was playing all season, or the 2 months, 2.5 months. So it's tough to really bag on someone who's playing hurt. But the reality is that a lot of guys didn't deliver. Yeah, Charlie Blackmon had that incredible 2 to 3 week run where he was batting over 400, and there was a lot of talk about possibly batting 400. But, you know, him, Trevor Story, they just didn't deliver. Dahl was hurt a lot of the season. It was not a typical Rockies offense, which you expect at Coors Field. I know that the Coors Field dilemma has hovered over this franchise from day one since 1993 when they were at Mile High, you know, mm-hmm. the whole high altitude thing. But the reality is they did not deliver offensively this year. And, you know, Bud Black yesterday talked about we've got to evaluate everything. That includes coaches. So I think there's going to be some internal looking at why the offense did not deliver. And look, Dave Magadan, I've known forever. And the reality is that I don't know if he's going to be back next year, because the offense, there's going to be somebody to blame.
Sure.
And usually it's a coach. So, you know, Bud Black yesterday talked about chase rates and not swinging at strikes and things like that. And that usually falls on a hitting coach's plate. And that's unfortunate for the coach, but that's reality at the big league life. You know, it's a do league, not a try hard league.
Yeah. And unfortunately, this has turned out to be a fantastic disaster. And retooling this roster is going to be a tall task. It's going to be a tall task. There's no doubt about it. My fear is that the Colorado Rockies will not be a relevant baseball team in the next handful of years. That's my fear. Judging by their neighbors in the division, looking at the way that some of the contracts are structured, and you know, that's really my fear, is that this is going to be once again the normal for the Rockies.
Well, Zach, you're not far off in that thinking, because what usually when you know people talk like that, it's like no, but wait, look at this. There's no, look at this right now. There's just not any of that to look at and say, no, the future looks good because of XYZ. Here's another thing. You were hurt in the sense that no prospects were able to truly develop, which is what the minor leagues are for.
Mm.
So yes, that hit everybody, no doubt about it. But when you're a franchise that relies on your farm system because you just cannot go out into free agency and fill every hole, that's going to hurt you more than it does the big ticket franchises. And the reality is that that's going to hurt clubs like the Rockies more than it will a club like the Dodgers.
Yep. Well, we will leave it there for now. Pedro, we really appreciate you joining us week after week, regardless of the tone. We've enjoyed this for a couple of years now. We wish you the very best covering this postseason and into the offseason, and hopefully we get to have you back in 2021.
I would love nothing less, and hopefully there's all of baseball is back, including the minors. I'm actually on my way to San Diego right now, where I'll be for the next 3 weeks.
Awesome.
For the Padres first round and then the ALDS. And ALCF, which are all taking place in San Diego. So if you guys want to give me a ring at some point, by all means.
Okay. Okay. Thanks so much, Pedro. We appreciate you, buddy. As always, you do such great work, and we definitely appreciated having you on every week. And hopefully we can do it again next year, buddy. And hopefully we'll be talking when it's playoff time next year.
And no Raging Cajun talk, huh?
No. That hasn't crept in today. 3-0, though.
Yet.
All right, take care, Pedro.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay, see you guys. Take care.
All right, there he goes. Pedro Gomez, our Fan Rockies insider. Appreciate him joining us courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino on the Fireball Hotline. A merciful ending. The Rocks could just go away for a while.
Absolutely.
just
brutal.
Drilled.
Just brutal. They could have made some people happy, I promise you.
Yeah. Well,
get to that 27th win.
Oh, right.
So just get to 27.
But all season long. I mean, I don't know whose offense is worse, the Broncos or the Rockies.
Mm.
I really don't.
Mm. That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
It's a tough one.
And you had been telling me for the last month.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't listen. I was stubborn and hard-headed. I have no other choice.
Have the Broncos hit rock bottom? Is this right here rock bottom? Or do we actually have a long way to go yet?
Hmm.
Take a dive into it next. Is this rock bottom? 0-3 in consecutive years for the first time in the history of the Broncos organization. You know, we put a poll up on Twitter. At 104.3 The Fan, you can follow us. And the poll was a simple question. Asking Broncos country if the Broncos have hit rock bottom. The results were, yes, it's that bad. Not yet, but soon. They already have hit rock bottom, and it's not that bad yet. 42% said, yes, they've hit rock bottom, it's that bad. 44%, not yet, but soon. To discuss this, Troy Rank drops by. Troy, man, you've been covering this team. You've been living in this town for a long, long time. Where does this stack up?
Well, they haven't hit rock bottom, but they can see it from here. And if you lose to the Jets, you have. I mean, the Jets are just god-awful. And if they lose, Jets lose, I expect Adam Gase to get fired Friday or over the weekend. So I would say you can see it from here. Now, the Vance Joseph year when they lost 8 straight, that was the worst I'd covered. Remember, they went 1-7 on the road, and they were non-competitive in 8 of their 11 losses. So I would still say that, for me, that has been rock bottom because of the nature of that 8-game losing streak. But, again, this, in terms of a start, is comparable, and not only because you could be on your third starting quarterback in 4 games, but you've also lost almost every meaningful player to injury.
Troy, what do you think?
In that way, it's hard to argue that it's hard to argue that it can get much worse. But if you lose to the Jets, it does get worse.
Troy, what do you think they should do at the quarterback position? Yeah, and what do you think they will do eventually? Do you think they'll stick with Driscoll, give him another shot on a short week, or is it going to be Rippon?
I believe it's going to be Rippon. That's an educated guess, just based on Fangio's just disdain for the way Driscoll was taking sacks. And it's not just over one game. Over 7 quarters, he's been sacked 11 times. That's fourth most in football. And all the other guys are, you know, Joe Burrow's, Carson Wentz is tied with him at 11, Deshaun Watson's at 13. Those guys play every snap. You know, Driscoll has played 7 quarters and been sacked 11 times, and the offensive line play has been poor. But I'd say half of those sacks are on Driscoll. His internal clock is set on, like, daylight savings time. I don't know what he's doing back there. It's insane. It's like 1,003. You know, Stoke, once you get to, like, 1,003 in your mind, the ball's got to be out. You know, throw it away or throw it. You can't – I mean, he just holds on to it. Like, it's crazy to me. Now, maybe he's a little – you know, he's a little gun-shy after all the hits he's taken, too. I mean, that's a fair argument. But I think it – I believe that Rippon has a slight edge right now. Bortles is not in play, as we've talked about. Guy hasn't even practiced. I mean, if you send him out there, that's just saying we don't care and we're trying to lose, because it's not fair to him. He's been with the team like 2 seconds, and you're going to start him? Really? I mean, that's what it's come to. So, but could he start against the Patriots? Absolutely. He could, with a full week of practice this week and next week. You know, so my guess, educated guess, is it's Rippon, but, you know, it literally could be Driscoll on a short leash and then go to Rippon. I mean, neither one of these are great choices.
Well, I mean, I almost have to laugh so I don't cry, but you're talking about in the first maybe 5 weeks of the season, there could be 4 different quarterbacks that play for the Broncos. I mean, I know it has been bad around here, but from a narrative standpoint, and I know it's some of it's happenstance and injury or whatever, but gosh, Troy, somehow the Broncos, who have already been a punchline in that regard and have the quarterback carousel up there, you know, as a graphic on ESPN, somehow this stretch of time may be the worst yet, only feeding into that narrative. And I find it unbelievable.
Yeah, the only one that was worse was when it literally went through the order of Simeon, Lynch, Osweiler, Simeon, Lynch, Osweiler.
Yes.
They went through the order twice.
Yes.
That was comical to me, because it literally was 6 changes with 3 different guys. And I was like, really? Are we just like high school or just going through the batting order here?
They at all one point were the starter. They all were at one point the backup. Sorry. And they all at one point were inactive.
Like, yeah, that was similar. I mean, the crazy thing is, as bad as Case Keenum was, he played all 16 games that year.
Yep.
That was that brought sanity to the position, not productivity. God forbid we get that. But he did bring stability to the position because he stayed healthy, sort of. He was hurt in that year, too, but not enough to come out of the game. He's like, yeah, again, it's a mess. I've said that, and you guys made the point about when they signed Driscoll, this isn't a great alternative because if Locke goes down, you're in a big, you're in big trouble. And we didn't obviously would have thought it would include several other stars hurt. But Driscoll, this is kind of who he is. He's 1-7 as a starter, and it's arguably his best game of his career was against the Broncos 2 years ago at Cincinnati. I mean, there's just not a lot on his resume to suggest he would step in and win games. Like, he's an athlete. That's what he is. And yesterday was more the guy we saw in training camp. He's inaccurate. That's been his problem in his career in a league now where everyone completes 65 to 70% of their passes. He's at 59, 58. So, I mean, I can't say I'm shocked. He seems like a good dude, and he's working. He's trying hard, but it's just he can't solve this. He can't. I mean, I would go with Rippon, and then if Rippon struggles, go back to Driscoll.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, why take another look at Driscoll? We've seen enough. I mean, it's not like it's going to get a lot better. Let's take a look at Rippon and see what he's all about. I mean, it really can't hurt at this point. So I think he's got no other choice. You made the move. Rippon played well. Just go with Rippon on Thursday night, see what he looks like, and then who knows the following week what will happen. Troy, this defense, what do you make of the defense and their performance against Tom Brady and the Bucs?
Yeah, I mean, the times are compromised. I mean, the special teams have been atrocious again, which is just unfathomable that we continue to talk about this. But they just can't seem to get off the field, Brandon. I mean, that's the biggest thing I would say about this defense. They make plays at times. They do some good things. But in third down, where you make your money as a defense, third down and in the red zone, they just had some issues. Third down yesterday, the Tampa Bay started 7 of their first 10 converted, and they just can't get off the field. And some of it's because they're on the field too much. That is true. And the offense does them no favors on those three and outs. But at some point, if you're going to win a game here and there, your defense comes up with a play on third down. And they just cannot seem to do that right now. And they're compromised. Von Miller not being there hurts. And Bradley Chubb, I watched him closely yesterday. And again, I'm a fan of Bradley Chubb. Everyone knows that. He just doesn't look like he's able to trust the bend yet. He's getting good rush and he's pushing the lineman back, but you can just tell when I'm watching him, he's not ready to completely trust that bend and that angle to get underneath the tackle, to get to the ball. And I saw progress on that late, so maybe he's ready to, you know, literally and figuratively ready to turn the corner. That would help, but again, they're just losing Casey Hurts. He's a solid player, and it doesn't always show up, but he's a guy who's a solid, trusted player in the middle, and now he's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Yeah, tough blow. What do you make of Justin Simmons and his performance through 3 weeks?
I mean, he's been inconsistent. When he's been good, he's been great. And when he's been bad, he's, you know, missed assignments that, you know, I wouldn't expect from Justin. I think he's pressed a little. That's just me. That's my speculation. I think he's, you know, the contract thing is out there, and it's hard not to think about that as a player sometimes when you're trying to be perfect and make plays, and sometimes you end up locking yourself up a little bit. But he's not an issue for me necessarily. Would I prefer he's playing like a superstar right now? Yeah. But the problem is they just, you know, they're leaky at linebacker and coverage still. They got a young corner. I mean, there's just enough parts that are missing that at times it exposes him to mistakes. But, you know, I think he would tell you he'd like to be more consistent.
Troy Rank dropping by here live on Stokely and Zach, presented by Tranny Law. Is there any good things that you draw from yesterday? Like, we watched a whole football game. Is there anything good that you take with you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Deshaun Williams played well in a pinch. I mean, I'm not being sarcastic. Like, he legitimately played well for a guy who just got called up off the practice squad, who's been fighting forever to kind of get NFL time. I thought he played well. You know, other than that, offensively, I don't know that there's anyone that would have stood out to me. I mean, that was as bad as it gets in terms of that. But I mean,
what do you make of Pat Shurmur, Troy? What do you make of Pat Shurmur and his game call yesterday?
Again, when you don't have stability at the quarterback position or don't trust the quarterback, it leads the coordinator to call plays that, you know, some of us look at and go, what are we doing? So sometimes the coordinator just says kind of like, screw it, I'm going to put you in a position of harm because we need to score here. And then other times they get so darn conservative, you can't win. And that's what I see. Like, they are calling plays like they've got a backup quarterback in there until they win hurry up. I will say that. You asked one thing I took away. If I'm the Broncos, I honestly consider starting the game in the hurry up offense, whether it's Rippon or Driscoll, only because it could get you a little bit of momentum. You may not be able to stay in it. Like, I get that because your defense could end up on the field for 40 minutes, but I would consider going hurry up. So what did I make of it? I mean, it's been unimpressive. There's just no, it's underwhelming, unimpressive. But without Drew Lock, it's hard for me to sit here and grade him fairly because Lock was the reason that I wanted to see Shurmur call the plays.
Mm. All right, we'll leave it there for now, Troy. We really appreciate you, and we'll do it again real soon.
You got it, guys. See you.
Thanks, right, Troy.
There goes our Denver 7 insider, Troy Rank, presented by Tranny Law on the Fireball Hotline.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.